He was so close that I could smell him, a mix of sweat and burning rubber. He leaned in. 3:05 a.m. The luminous figures stared back at me in the dark. The glow of a street lamp seeped through the wooden slats of my blinds. It was quiet. The man had gone. A nightmare. Though somewhere in the depths of my mind, I knew that it was more than a nightmare. That morning, I was late getting ready because Milo wouldn't come in from the garden. He'd been leaping around like a maniac, chasing a tiny vole that he'd found. Eventually, I managed to get him indoors, and I waited for my best friend, Lou, while grabbing scraps of breakfast. Dad had gone to work already, leaving me a note on the kitchen table. "Diz, see you after school. Have a good day. Kiss." Lou usually arrived at 8:45 a.m. on the dot, so we didn't have to rush. But it was almost 8:50 a.m., and she wasn't here. She must have been running late herself and decided to go in on her own. I couldn't wait any longer. I broke into a run as soon as I was outside. My feet hit the pavement in sync with the beating of my heart. The houses on either side of Gulliver Avenue shifted and swayed, and my ears ached inside from the sharp nip in the early autumn air. Clusters of people huddled at the bus stop passed me in a burst of charcoal greys. The white and black of offices and banks and traffic merged into a single, moving stream. I ran and ran until I reached the finish line of the school gates, my arms propped against the railings, my chest ready to burst. The bell had gone. Even the usual crowds of sixth formers with their slouchy rucksacks and rolled up blazer sleeves had disappeared inside. I walked into the empty entrance hall. Lou saw me by the lockers and gave me a disapproving glance, not mentioning a word about why she hadn't come to mine. I'd got used to these glances over the last few weeks. Ever since we'd started year eight, she'd been acting as though she was a guru on everything from clothes to hair, music, and even who to hang around with. "Why are you always so last minute about everything? And look at you! What's with the stains on the skirt?" She shook her head. I ignored her. Lou's own skirt was far too short, and I hadn't said anything about that. She'd hitched it up recently to expose her skinny knees. It was part of her new look, which included poker straight hair and thick, smudged lines on her eyelids. "Come on, Izzy, hurry up!" And before I could ask her why she hadn't called for me on the way to school, she turned on her heel and disappeared in the direction of our classroom. I stood there, thinking that any second she would turn around and wait for me. She didn't. "Izzy, what are you still doing here?" Mr. McKenzie sounded irritated. "Daydreaming in the corridor. It's already gone 9:05 a.m. Get a move on." We had double maths first with Mr. Karuna, who was, as always, striding backwards and forwards at the front of the classroom with a dazed expression on his face. He looked as though, in his thoughts, he was somewhere far better. I liked him a lot. He was kind and funny, even if he wasn't always great at explaining things. Today, his classroom was horribly hot, and Jonah and Dave were sniggering about something in the corner. I would put money on them having turned up the radiators just for a laugh. It was exactly the sort of thing that they would find hilarious. Someone dropped a book on the floor, and Mr. Karuna was brought back to reality. He started talking about the value of X, but because of the heat and the fact that I wasn't very interested in algebra, my fingers lost their grip. My pen began to slip, and my eyes grew heavy. I rested my head in my hands and pressed my knuckles against my eyelids, thinking that the pressure might help me stay awake. Despite my best efforts, I found myself drifting.